It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yes, indeed, and we are off and running. This program is live. They all are at one point or another. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Fridays of most weeks. Yes. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a password. Jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky, and be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who is still resisting the urge to fold space, as I assume that it is it's like a furnace in the man cave. So that's okay. And you'll also be moderated by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, whom I will be seeing this coming weekend. It's been a busy day here at the ranch. I'm sorry, the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Got things started at 6 o'clock. The brisket had been brining merrily away. Right before the program started, we took it off. It's done. It's resting and finishing its carryover cooking. And then it will be promptly refrigerated and held that way until we get to Georgia. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And just a program reminder, no program Thursday, no program Friday, probably no program Monday. If it's possible for there to be a program Monday, by Jove, there'll be one. The week after that, we might be a little hit or miss because I'm going to be back in D.C. because there are big doings relative to the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Yes. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. The USS Trumptanic is afloat on both streams, Bosun Bob. Bosun. Nobody likes the bosun's mate. That's pretty much where, and now that the brisket is off, the ribs will go on. We've got a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, so that could affect my bliss somewhat, my barbecue bliss. But things are coming together, and tomorrow afternoon about 3 o'clock, pick up the rental, and then off on the road on Thursday, headed to the hills and hollers of the North Georgia Mountains. Yes. This program, of course, always begins with thanks, and we have, and this day is no different, we have thanks going out to our subscribers for the fourth day of the month. And that would mean thank yous to Nagla. Thank you, Nagla. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Kelly. And thank you, Paul. Thank you all very, very kindly. And thanks to... let me check here real quick. working. No, thank you very kindly to an anonymous member of the Horn Family Community Congregation who wiped out the rest of Bruce's Memorial Challenge last night and did a have a show on me. So that means we've taken care of the 2 days gone. And so now all we've got to do is this evening and tomorrow. So the fundraising goal is just a plain old ordinary $200 this evening. So $200 over at just go to headon.live, click on contribute, and we'll go from there. Okay? That'll be wonderful. And if we can do that, well, yes. So, yes, and thanks to everybody who chipped in to finish Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you so very kindly indeed. Wow. The smoker is sort of insinuating itself into the studio here. Might have to go look at that real quick. There may be a couple of interruptions in the program this evening, but these things have to happen. So there we are, 200 to raise this evening, 200 tomorrow, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, et cetera, et cetera. And then we will be set for the week, and all will be good. And thanks very kindly for the have a show on me. That's very critically, crucially important. So where do we begin this evening? No, I'm not going to talk about barbecue anymore. But as soon as the program's over, I've got about 3 more hours of work to do. I'll probably be up all night tending the ribs. But I love that. That's the very definition of summer for me. And warm weather. It's not quite summer yet. No, I thought it would be, a little bit of breaking news. Sad news. There's been a stabbing in London with Julius Geezer over there embarrassing the United States and costing us a small fortune, taking his grown kids on vacation with him. As if he was off to Euro Disney or something. I mean, the numbers are just staggering. Over a million. I mean, it just. Jesus Christ, the money. Gotta love those fiscally conservative Republicans, don't you? Yeah. Sure. What's the number here? I don't mean the phone number. I mean the cost for this trip. Yeah, there we go. $1,223,230 for VIP accommodations at the 5-star Intercontinental Hotel on Park Lane in London's Mayfair area. We pay all that money and he can't even get a tux that fits. You saw, I presume. I mean, we're talking about a visual on the radio, right? Not the best of ideas, but it's a multimedia kind of world, and I can only assume that you have seen Julius Geezer's ill-fitting tux. And I guess they rented them all from the same place because Beavis and Butthead's tuxes and Jared's tux didn't fit any better. He tried to make the vest look longer. To try to make him look slimmer. And for some reason or another, there's a new thing out there where he doesn't have his pants hemmed. Yeah, really. And he didn't get to wear his long damn tie, you know, because that's slimming too. The whole Burrowbilly entourage was just an embarrassment to the United States of America. We probably ought not let them travel freely like that. And it's not just the $1.2 million for the luxury accommodations at the Intercontinental Hotel. There are also $96,162 bucks at the Cumberland Hotel, Hard Rock Hotel, and then another $122,059 at the Intercontinental, $266,882 at London's Grosvenor House Hotel. I thought he was rich. I thought he could pay for all of this. No. Because it turns out there are new details of Nitwit Nero's prenup with Marla Maples, with whom he had Tiffany. And Tiffany's there in London, too. Really there in London. Just never mind. But no, when the prenup, when they signed their prenup, there was a clause that said that if Tiffany joined the military, that Trump would stop paying $100,000 child support payments for her. He pays $100,000 a year in child support for Tiffany, allegedly. I imagine he probably stiffed her, too. And if she got a full-time job, enlisted in the military, or joined the Peace Corps, he wouldn't pay her a damn penny anymore. Kind of gives you an idea of how he feels about his spawn actually doing anything that might benefit someone besides him or his ugly little clan. And so, no, Tiffany won't be joining the military. And after all, over the course of the last century and a half or so, no Trump has ever joined the military. But anyway, there was a stabbing in London today. You know, they've got meaningful gun laws in the UK. Otherwise, it could have been far worse. A woman is in custody. Her name is Amy Dalla Murrah. She goes by the nickname Based Amy, and she walked into the crowd in London carrying a knife, and the following ensued.
I'm going in for it. I'm going to press the bloody thing. I'm going.
What the
f*** you did? Did it. That's a disgrace. It's a national disgrace. The president of the United States is the best president ever. Shame on you. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Done it, guys. Yeah, baby. Hey, you better go check out. I think Donald Trump's balloon is not very well.
That's right. An English version of a maggot stabbed the Trump baby balloon. Because maggots are inherently unable to cope with criticism of their god emperor. Yeah. Hey, stand by for a minute. I will be back. I'm going to have to check the grill, the smoker for time. I'll be right back. Stand by. Yeah, it's a little smoky out there right now. I had the thing open to take the brisket off and everything, and opened the dampers a little bit to try to get the temperature back up to rib temperature, and it got out of hand a little bit. So had to shut down the dampers, and we'll starve the fire, and then we'll be ready to go with the. We'll be ready to go with the ribs in a little bit. Steve a little bit ago said in New York, talking about barbecue, given the state of things, talking about barbecue all evening sounds pretty good to me. I can't believe I'm alone in this. But no, based Mary, is that, yeah, is apparently a big maggot. And she was horrified by the fact that a balloon that is a near pitch perfect manifestation of the temperament of the worst president in the history of the United States was flying over London. A spokesman for the organization Trump Baby UK gave a statement to The Independent and said, "A woman punctured the mini Trump Baby replica with a sharp object. It's not surprising that the far right would want to meet freedom of expression with violence." No, that's what fascists do. Meanwhile, Scotland Yard got right on the case, confirming to The Independent, "One female has been arrested for being in possession of a pointed or bladed article." Yes. What about destruction of property? What about the Trump baby? Were they able to do emergency surgery with a little bit of duct tape? Please tell me that somebody in that crowd had duct tape. How do you not anticipate that they would do something like that, you know? So, right. Oh, we are going to do food porn this evening. I posted some pictures of currywurstin earlier today. Ferg got home from the midnight shift, and it was more like his supper time. It was a little past my breakfast, so we called it lunch. And no, it's not difficult at all. You start out by simmering the bratwursts in beer. And after they're thoroughly cooked, you take them out and you put them on the grill and let them get some nice char marks. And then you get a package of currywurstin mix. And your best bet is ordering it online because it's probably not going to be in your local grocer's shelves. The manufacturer is Knorr or Knorr, K-N-O-R-R. And what we did is we took the currywurstin mix and just dumped it right in the remaining beer, stirred it up. Looks pretty thin at first, but it simmers and it thickens pretty quickly. You put the charred bratwurst back in, put the lid on, let them simmer for a little while, and then put them on, you know, like toasted hoagie rolls. That's how we did it. And man, were they good. Ralph's wanted to know. It's real tasty. So I'd say, you know, maybe, well, I hate to give free plugs to Amazon, but if you go on Amazon, you'll probably find Knorr. I don't know if that's a silent German K or not. I don't think there are silent Ks in German, are there? Maybe there are. Like in Knife or Knigget. But it was pretty simple, and it was pretty darn delicious. Did two meals on, and that's that little Coleman road trip grill that takes the 1 pound propane cylinder. It's awfully handy. And so this evening, I did two meals on the grill today. I did the currywurst earlier, and then at the same time, I mixed up a brine in a 1 gallon Ziploc bag. It was like a quarter cup of salt, a quart of water, some curry powder, and some garam masala, and some pineapple mango juice, and put in some fresh chicken breast strips and just let them marinate for about 5 hours. Soak, brine, whatever. And along about 4 o'clock, I fixed them for Agnes's dinner. And she said they were the best chicken strips she had ever had in her life. She's sweet to me that way. But they were pretty darn good. Yeah. Some yogurt sauce would have really kicked those up a notch. So, we've got the business in Mary Oldie Engeland. By the way, Based Mary has a history. That's why she's got a name. Ah, thank you. Brother Deacon Asa tells me the TV commercials always pronounce it with the K, Knorr. Okay, thank you. That helps. Based Mary is rather infamous in the UK. It was back in 2007 when she cost the tax-paying subjects of the Queen over £1 million. Because on 50 separate occasions, she staged cries for help by throwing herself into the sea along various portions of the British coastline. As a result of that, because remember, the UK doesn't have freedom like we have, and you know, over here, our fetishized version of free speech would say that that was political speech, and you can't keep her from throwing herself in the sea. Harumph. No, she was banned by the government of the UK from getting within 50 meters of the sea along the British coastline. And by British, we mean, we include also the Welsh and the Scottish and Northern Irish. So I guess she was due. President Trump is the greatest president of the United States ever had. Jesus Christ. So, Well, I'll be dipped. How about that? German language nerd, Steve in New York, says, German language nerd, the plural of currywurst is currywürste, not currywürsten. No, there are no silent letters, not even K's, in German. For instance, Knabe, pronounced Knabe, the English cognate is Knave. And that's that whole B and V transferability thing. No N, huh? Well, you know, every time you think you've got a good handle on a German grammatical rule, you will be brought low. Oh, and by the way, last night during the state dinner, or the royal dinner, or the peaceful, majestic, serene, noble, high, gracious dinner, whatever the hell it was, Donnie, in his ill-fitting tux, dozed a bit during the Queen's remarks. Yeah. Just kind of nodded off. I remember being that way in boring lectures in college, and you're fighting it. Oh, you're fighting it. You're fighting it, and your eyes just close, and you, boom, what, huh? Who? Where? I remember it well. Well, he did that. I'm not president of the United States. You'd hope the president of the United States wouldn't do something like that, but no, not so much. Meanwhile, Matt in San Francisco, regarding 45's visit with the Queen, subject line, yes, Queen Elizabeth, the jeweled crown worn is supposed to protect against evil and illness, and as a gift to him, she gave him a rare first edition book by Winston Churchill on World War II and defeating the Nazis. Let that soak in. She wore a crown to protect against evil and gave him a book about killing Nazis. The best shade throwing always comes from a queen. Yeah, there's a cowbell for that. Well, I think shade throwing was invented by queens, wasn't it? If I understand my history of the ball scene, having, you know, I'm an expert now because I watched Pose. Yeah. But the funny thing is, the actual Winston Churchill history of the Second World War was like a 7-volume set. Okay? And it's a couple of thousand bucks now to find a rare first edition. I mean, it's not like the first folio of Shakespeare or something. There's several of them around. The thing is, though, wait for it. The coin did not give him the 7-volume set, knowing he would never read it anyway because he can't read and doesn't read. And what he did read was mostly just the speeches of Adolf Hitler, according to, I think, Ivana's divorce deposition, yes? No, The Queen gave him an abridged version of Winston Churchill's History of the Second World War that you can buy online in England for a little less, in good condition, mind you, for a little less than $15. Cheap gift for a cheap bastard. So we've got that going for us, which is good. But now back home. Back home here to the land of the free and the home of the brave. I saw this story earlier, and I was distressed by it. And I admit up front that my take on this may be a bit strong for some folks. But a few minutes ago, I made reference to the fact that, you know, the British government banned Based Mary from being within 50 meters of the English coastline, so she couldn't cost the British people another million goddamn pounds. And I said that would never have happened over here because of our fetishized approach to the First Amendment. That somehow or another, some federal judge would have found that throwing oneself into the sea and faking a cry for help was an act of political speech. You know, just like corporations giving money to political candidates is political speech. Right. Well, I had something in mind when I mentioned that. It happened yesterday in Los Angeles. A federal court there, presided over by U.S. District Judge Cormac Carney. Most people may know Cormac Carney most people who are of a certain age probably know Cormac Carney from his glory days as a UCLA Bruin, when he was their most prolific wide receiver in the early 80s and culminating in a victory over Michigan in the 1983 Rose Bowl. Well, that's not why we're talking about Cormac Carney now. Because when he got done playing college ball, he spent a year playing for the Memphis Steamers or something like that in the USFL. You remember the league that actually let Donald Trump own a team, right? But then he wandered from Memphis up to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and got himself admitted to the Harvard College of Law and graduated therefrom and came back home to California and practiced law for a little while. And then lo and behold, in the early aughts, got a call from George W. Bush, who said, "I'd like to make you a federal judge." His career has not been an entire blight. Among other things, back in 2014, he declared the death penalty in California unconstitutional, saying that it was arbitrary, full of delays, and violative of the Eighth Amendment proscription of cruel and unusual punishment. And Kamala Harris appealed his judgment, striking down the California death penalty. As Attorney General of California, she said, "No, by God, we need to be killing people in the name of the state." Interestingly, she didn't even have to appeal that case, but she chose to, because we need to be able to kill some people now and then. And on November 12, 2015, she won. Kamala Harris won. The Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals overturned Cormac Carney's order. But that's not what we're talking about here. No. A group called the Rise Above Movement. And, you know, the word Nazi is a little bit fluid. Does someone have to walk around in spiffy black Hugo Boss uniforms and have swastikas on their sleeves to be Nazis? Or can we use that as a sort of fill-in-the-blank word for fascists? Because in the news reporting I found about this story, you get phrases like violent far-right group. Well, the bottom line is the Rise Above movement, which exists in California, attended the Unite the Right rally back in August of 2017, almost 2 years ago. And they also were actively engaged in starting the riot at the University of California in Berkeley in April of 2017. Members of Rise Above Movement showed up in Berkeley, among other things, with their hands taped as if they were going into a boxing match. They covered their faces with skeleton masks. I guess Walmart was out of white pillowcases at the time. But they showed up expressly with the purpose of inciting violence. And they got busted. They were busted under the Anti-Riot Act. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but the idea, it sounds like a pretty nice little piece of legislation to me. An act to punish people who start riots. But no, in a 12-page decision, Judge Cormac Carney said, ha-ha, the Anti-Riot Act is unconstitutionally overbroad, and we have to let the Nazis start riots. Now, don't get me wrong, he puts the usual soft soap language into his opinion, and he says, the court does not condone Ram's hateful and toxic ideology. We're just going to turn them loose so they can perpetuate it some more. No, I added that part. But the government has sufficient means at its disposal to prevent and punish such behavior without sacrificing the First Amendment. And then, channeling his inner Jesus, this guy, Cormac Carney, said to Robert Rundo, Aaron Eason, and Robert Bowman, the defendants in the case, move away from violence and hate. And then they got turned loose. They got turned loose knowing that the law that they'd been charged under had been declared unconstitutional, and they were free to go and start more riots. Good for them, huh? Oh, I tell you what, I just want to fire up Lee Greenwood. If tomorrow all the Nazis I knew couldn't riot anymore, God bless Cormac Carney, because he says they sure can do it some more. And I'm proud to be an American. God damn it. Go and sin no more. And that's what I mean. The fetishized approach to the First Amendment. The defense lawyer, and by the way, it doesn't. I can't find anywhere here that tells me this guy is like a federal public defender or something. Well, okay. There it is. Deputy public defender, Julia Dixler, Eason's attorney, John McNicholas. But anyway, so they got that lawyer for free. He said that it was unfair and unconstitutional to charge them based on the fact that they had planned the riot. You got that? It's not okay to riot, and maybe it's not okay to incite riot, but now we're not really sure. But darn sure, when you're entering into the conspiracy to do it, that's unconstitutional, according to a George W. Bush appointee, who I'm sure was vetted by the goddamn Federalist Society. Meanwhile, lawyer McNicholas was all proud of himself and said, "The law can't go and suppress everyone's First Amendment rights. People who commit crimes will continue to be punished." Yeah, I guess. Tell that to Heather Heyer. They were charged with plotting riots, Rise Above Movement. They were charged with inciting violence all over California in 2017. Yeah, one dumbass actually pleaded guilty to the charge. But the other three, they stood their ground. And they're walking free. Yeah, I bet Tyler Lauba feels pretty stupid right now. But, and you know, through the course of the case, the progress of the case, I guess part of the defense was, but Antifa. Now let's remember who Antifa are. Antifa don't run around starting riots. Antifa have a tendency to show up where the fascists are, and they take a sort of self-help approach to the idea of Nazis. Antifa have a philosophy that says, no, if you're a Nazi, you probably need the shit kicked out of you. And oddly enough, in the name of a couple of my relatives who died killing Nazis, I really don't have a lot of moral qualms with that point. But in lecturing Bowman and Rundo, Judge Carney said, "I don't care what idiots Antifa are. You're both young men. You don't want to be in custody for years." You got that? Yeah, this George W. Bush appointee took a swipe at Antifa along the way. What have they done? Well, let's see. There was a MAGA rally on a beach in California. And it was a MAGA rally, and it wasn't much of anything. I mean, the counter-protesters were there. They weren't starting anything. But Ram, having planned it, showed up and started taking shots and punches at the counter-protesters while they masqueraded as security guards for people marching in the name of free speech. Among other things, the Ram members chased people off of the beach and continued to attack them and beat on them in the parking lot. oh, I guess Lauba doesn't have to feel like such a dumbass after all, because his conviction, having pled guilty, his conviction is going to be vacated under this, too. Good for him. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to wind up queuing up Lee Greenwood. Writing his opinion, Cormac Carney said, "Make no mistake that it is reprehensible to throw punches in the name of teaching Antifa some lesson. Nor does the court condone Ram's hateful and toxic ideology, but the government has sufficient means at its disposal to prevent and punish such behavior without sacrificing the First Amendment." When there's pretty good decisional law to suggest that that ain't protected, plotting a fucking riot is not protected speech in the first place. Jesus. Ron and Raleigh, what the effervescent fuck? That Rondo fucker was in Charlottesville for that riot. He's been rioting all over the country. This is his chosen profession. He's a professional white supremacist recruiter and provocateur. To quote Golden Earring, "We're falling down a spiral, destination unknown." Good lyric quote, Ron. But that's protected speech. Planning riots. Planning to go and beat the hell out of people who aren't doing any violence in the first place. That's protected speech, according to a Republican federal judge, George W. Bush appointee. Okay. I guess that means that the other is sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, right? No. The Trump regime in the Transportation Department has something called the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. And as of the last couple of days, yesterday, the Transportation Department has released an update to the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration rules. The update contains this language. "Vandalism, tampering with, or impeding, disrupting, or inhibiting the operation of pipelines." Well, they want to be able to stick people in federal prison for years and years, up to 20 years, for daring to protest the construction of a deadly instrumentality, not that may explode, but at some point will explode. And when it explodes, cause untold amounts of damage, not just to the goddamn pipeline, but might even blow up and kill some innocent human beings. Oh, by the way, there's a little gift to the pipeline industry, too. Used to be that if there was a pipeline accident of more than $100,000 value, the pipeline company would have to report it to PHMSA. The new rules double that to $200,000. I guess because inflation. So Nazis and various other fascists have been given a green light to run riot, literally, by Judge Cormac Carney. But a Native American woman who, acting on her deeply held religious beliefs, protests a toxic, world-damaging pipeline. Nah, she's going to go do 20 years hard time making little rocks out of big rocks. With the announcement Monday, the Natural Gas Council said it was a positive step. We look forward to reviewing the PHMSA's specific recommendations and participating in the process to produce a bill that enhances the safety of the industry and the communities that we serve. Yeah, there's only one problem. As long as the goddamn pipeline exists, there will be no safety for any of the communities near which it passes. If you're wondering who the Natural Gas Council are, well, it's the American Petroleum Institute and the American Gas Association and several other front groups. I mean, the Mountain Valley Pipeline's going through West Virginia right now, and some of the most heroic people I've seen in recent memory are putting their futures and their very lives on the line, trying to slow this goddamn thing until somebody can come along and stop it. In Louisiana, some people were arrested, pipeline protesters in 2018, for protesting the Bayou Bridge pipeline. They said their free speech rights were being violated. So far, there's been no 12-page opinion like the Nazis got in California. Wonder why. You know, I just keep remembering that JFK quote. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. Lee in New York says, do those pipelines transport freedom gas or freedom liquid? Oh, it depends on which pipeline it is. But it's freedom any way you slice it. By the way, another company pulled out of the LNG terminal there on the Texas coastline recently. Nitwit Nero put out a tweet talking about what a great job he'd done creating that terminal. Turned out it happened and construction started in 2014. Yeah, that's another one of those moments where you look up and go, it wasn't all sunshine and daisies in the Obama administration. No. Oh, and it is Titanic Tuesday. And I have, you know, I've vowed that I'm not going to trash any candidates. But it's going to become something approaching impossible not to at least critique the coverage. It is impossible not to critique the coverage. It's not approaching. It's impossible. And so I saw a story today over at Think Progress, and the headline says, with new plan, Biden establishes ambitious climate action as the 2020 standard. The former vice president backs net zero emissions by 2050. You know, 21 years too fucking late. And in the story, it starts... Former Vice President, this is a stentorian newsreader voice. Former Vice President Joe Biden revealed his long-awaited climate plan on Tuesday, one that aims to strike a balance between demands from environmental activists and a more centrist approach to climate action. Still trying to sort out what that centrist approach is to a goddamn extinction-level event for humanity, but, you know, who the hell am I? And the reason I bring this up and say that it's impossible not to critique the coverage is because that headline makes it sound like Biden's doing something nobody else has. But it's bullshit. You got to go three paragraphs into the story, and then, only then, you hear, for the first time, climate change is a leading presidential election issue. Gee, I wonder who had a hand in making sure that it wasn't a leading issue in presidential campaigns past. I mean, I wonder if maybe the four multimillionaire for-profit media might have asked a few more questions than they asked in, say, 2016 or 2012 or 2008 or 2004 or 2000 or 1996 or 1992 or 88 or 84 or 80. And then we're at Jimmy Carter, who's telling us we got to fucking do something about it or shit's going to get real, real fast. But the multimillionaire for-profit media over that span of time was much more interested in other things. Would you like to have a beer with him? For the first time, climate change is a leading presidential election issue, and Biden is the latest candidate to offer his vision for tackling the crisis. While more ambitious than many expected, Biden's plan largely mirrors components of those really... Okay, so three paragraphs in, and we finally find out that he's just sort of copied and pasted from other candidates. Mirrors components of those released so far by his rivals, including former Representative Beto O'Rourke. Meanwhile, what does that sentence even mean? Meanwhile, Governor Jay Inslee, you know, and I'll add the only candidate running who's actually got chief executive experience running a state and service in the national legislature, has released an ambitious plan backed by many experts, and Senator Elizabeth Warren similarly released her own major proposal on Tuesday, calling for a green Marshall Plan and $2 trillion in green investment. That's one of those moments when you know that somebody out there is, you know, we don't know who, listening to the program, because I've been talking about a goddamn Marshall Plan for Appalachia for, I'd say 10 years. So, in other words, everybody else was way out in front of Joe Biden on this, but Joe Biden finally got around to it, even though it's not like he had a bunch of shit to do over the last 3 years. Why wasn't this introduced? Why not start the campaign? I mean, if it's an extinction-level event, why not start your campaign with it? The language of his plan says, on day one, Biden will use the full authority of the executive branch to make progress and significantly reduce emissions. And there's a lot of palaver about biofuels. The liquid fuels of the future. Make agriculture a key part of the solution to climate change. It says really edgy stuff like, we have to get rid of the old way of thinking that the clean economy and jobs don't go together. They do. Well, shit far. We've only known that for 20 years. Wind turbine jobs, solar jobs. Even the retrofitting of filthy old coal-fired power plants have meant jobs. I remember Boss Man Wayne telling me about some of the building trades types. God damn climate change. And Wayne would look at him and say, hey, dumbass, aren't you actually working on the retrofit down at the John Amos coal-fired power plant? Oh, yeah. Well, why do you reckon you're on that? Why do you reckon you got that work? Oh. And there it is. There it is. The candidate would also push for the deployment and development of, wait for it, carbon capture sequestration technology. The short reference to that is the development of UNICORNS. Yeah, unicorns. Imaginary. Not possible. Cheap excuse for continuing to burn carbon. Or hydrocarbons. And again, I'm not going to trash Biden. But Jesus Christ, really? I mean, why doesn't the headline say Biden becomes fourth Democratic candidate to issue something about climate change? Does that make sense? I mean, look, if he's the nominee, I'm voting for him. And I have not endorsed or backed any candidate. I have some I prefer over others. I have some that I don't like at all. But I'm not going to turn this program into a scab picking contest. But that looks a little bit like Think Progress is in the bag for Joe. And they may be. But if they are, they need to say so up front. But they don't want to do that because that affects their credibility. So I guess they've got themselves a puzzlement. Agnes just sent me a note and let me know the acorn is down to 400 degrees now. Yeah, I think I'll probably be rebuilding the fire. With charcoal. I know. You know, I've actually looked into trying to figure out a way to buy some carbon offset credits. You know, I don't use a lot, but it would be a symbolic thing to do. Jesus, that's frustrating. You do a cut and paste and you get a headline for it. Beautiful. So here we are at the top of the hour. Again, we had $200 to raise this evening. And we're still at zero. I know I'm going to have to pay a couple of bills before I head south. More coming when I get back. And it's going to be a brutal month, what with the travel going on. So if we could take out a chunk of that so that we're not worrying about a whole bunch tomorrow, that would be great. Going back to the Nazis, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, "Violence is speech, my friend." Yeah. And so is money. Had a story, didn't get to it, but you remember those assholes in Idaho that ran the racist ads against Andrew Gillum and Stacey Abrams in the last election cycle? Bunch of Nazis in Idaho. Robocalls. They can afford robocalls. Well, they were, I forget what state it was, but they're up to it again. Maybe it's Virginia, because they got elections in 2019. Free speech. Really. Using racist tropes and stereotypes to slur a political candidate, somehow or another, survives First Amendment constitutional muster. You know, somehow or another, I'm just absolutely certain that countries that don't tolerate that shit, that filthy fucking shit, are not one whit less free than we. In fact, some of them may be more free because they can actually go to the doctor when they're sick. And you'll forgive me if I have this crazy notion that being able to go to the doctor when you're sick and not die of preventable, treatable disease is a big contributor to the overall general idea of, well, freedom. Note from Darlene. Subject line, seems the whole damned Trump clan is in London, including Tiff, Laura, Eric's wife, and the Beavis and Butthead duo themselves. Why? And why are my tax dollars paying for all of them to be there? When will a notable Democrat in the Congress post a sign on a lectern during a presser that itemizes all the costs American taxpayers have covered to shuttle Trump's ass to all of his golf excursions at Mar-a-Lago and ensure his protection? How about paying for and protecting Trump and his entire family going to London? By the way, did little Boron go? I haven't seen any pictures of him. Furthermore, is there a way to value the work hours of a POTUS so we can see just how much money we're losing for each hour of Trump executive time? I doubt there's a Manafort-style character to sue for recompense. At least the $40 million in assets Mueller seized from Manafort puts us $15 million in the black with the Russia investigation. Michelle Obama wrote in Becoming that she and Barack paid for all moving expenses to relocate to the White House for his first term. President Obama was concerned the optics wouldn't be good if their moving expenses were on the taxpayer's dime. You kidding me? Remember the uproar when he and Michelle took a date night in New York City? Something he'd promised her to thank her for the sacrifices she made in supporting his run for president? The double standard, Darlene says, is disgusting. I mean, yeah, right. Eric and Laura are not part of the administration. Don Jr. is not part of the administration. He's just an unindicted co-conspirator in it. As I like to refer to him, too stupid to be indicted. Laura Trump's nothing. I mean, she's pregnant again, but I don't think that qualifies as national service or civil service. Jesus, the way she got that way, considering it was Eric, it was probably quite incivil. Melanoma gets to be there because she's the first naked model. Little Boron's a minor, so you can't expect her to leave him back home in the White House. You know, Home Alone, Trump, Home Alone 3, the Trump edition. Ivanka, okay. Jared, okay, because they've got grifty little nepotistic positions. But honest to God, this is... I actually went looking for the Clampets go to England. I think it was season 6. When Jethro and Jed and the family thought that the word Haversham meant hello in England talk. Because their liaison was a fellow named Haversham who just stepped up and said, Haversham, Mr. Clampett, and he said, well, Haversham to you, too. Haversham! I'd say, when will this embarrassment end, but we know the date and the time, if we can get our shit together. January 20th, 2021. Ron and Raleigh with a note. There she blows. If when the pipeline goes kaboom, the gas company will try their damnedest to get the folks that blowed up pay for the damage. Our electric company has put in for a rate increase to pay for the multiple coal spills into the Dan River and others. They will in all likelihood get it. Socialism for companies and responsibility, brutal responsibility for customers. Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, I think my power bill still contains a surcharge to this day for the geniuses back in 2008 and 2009 when coal was extremely expensive, who said, we're going to buy a whole lot of coal, real expensive, and we're going to, Milo Minder Binder stuff from Catch-22, and we'll sell it to other people for cheap. And everybody will make a profit because everybody has a share, and what's good for Appalachian Power is good for everybody because everybody has a share. Only everybody doesn't. And they lost their shirts and went running to the Public Service Commission. And you know, understand, with very few exceptions, public service commissions are little, well, they're state government bordellos for power companies and gas companies and the like. By the way, the internet in West Virginia is not covered by the Public Service Commission. Phone company is. Phone company internet isn't. And so, generally speaking, people who have been lawyers for power companies and phone companies and whatnot, they're the ones that get appointed to the Public Service Commission, and they stand as a bulwark to protect the utilities from us. You know, the big, mean, scary consumers. Yeah. Doesn't exactly fill one with great inspiration. Well, it being a Tuesday, Brad and Desi are back. Kind of worked their corner a little bit with some of those environmental stories, but doggone it, I can't resist them all the time. So here in a moment, we'll see what they're up to. Darlene, subject line guaranteed. Barron has his own Secret Service detail. It's definitely not a Home Alone situation back at the White House. Well, it true enough. But I can't imagine Melanoma just leaving. Leaving without him. I don't think she'll let Donald Trump be alone with him. Would you? I wouldn't. So I'm gonna run the Green News Report, see what Brad and Desi have to say, and run outside and check on the acorn. It's gonna be a busy 12 hours for a while. This is listener-supported conversation radio, and the usual fundraising goal is out there this evening, $200. And maybe by the time I get back from the Green News Report, we'll be down from that. I'd love to let you know that was a fact. Don't go away. I'm not. Here's Brad and Desi.
It's Tuesday, June 4, 2019.
Communities affected by storms in 2018 and 2019 have been waiting for these critical resources for months now.
Long-awaited disaster relief package finally passes despite Republican bloc. No end in sight for Midwest flooding. Trump administration rolls out new tactic to suppress climate science. Plus,
we're excited to unveil our roadmap to 100% renewable energy by 2040.
Colorado goes big on renewable energy.
All of that going big and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
U.S. Energy Department officials have called the country's natural gas exports molecules of freedom, which they also called, quote, freedom gas.
And y'all thought I was making that up last week when I told you about it. See? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, see, that was real. The Department of Energy is actually calling liquefied natural gas freedom gas now.
Yes. Yes, they are. That was from a press release touting the expansion of a liquefied natural gas export facility in Texas. A high-ranking Department of Energy official referred to the exports as, quote, molecules of U.S. freedom. That is a quote, saying, quote, increasing export capacity is critical to spreading freedom gas throughout the world.
That's a real thing. I am not kidding. I am left speechless at this point.
And of course, just so you know, leaks of natural gas from drilling are responsible for about a third of all U.S. emissions of methane, a very potent greenhouse gas.
You mean a potent freedom gas?
In other news, there really seems to be no end in sight to the historic flooding saturating large swaths of the Midwest and Southeast. The National Weather Service warns that every large community along the Arkansas River will see major or record flooding throughout next week. Every county in Oklahoma right now is currently in a state of emergency. NASA announced last week that the continental United States had its 12 wettest months on record since record keeping began 124 years ago, noting that it, quote, fits in with long-term increases in overall precipitation and heavy rainfall events in our changing climate.
Well, that's what you get from all that freedom.
Americans suffering from last year's disasters will finally get much-needed relief and assistance. The U.S. House finally approved a $19 billion disaster relief package on Monday. The bill had already passed the Senate with approval from the White House, but it was held up over the Memorial Day recess by three Republicans, including Texas Republican Chip Roy, because the emergency relief, he said, wasn't offset by enough cuts elsewhere.
I'm still troubled we're poised to spend $19 billion that is not paid for when we're racking up approximately $100 million an hour in national debt.
So Chip Roy, I think, came in after, I think, the massive GOP tax cut, correct?
Yes.
If he's so concerned about deficits, has he introduced a bill calling to restore those tax cuts?
He has not.
Huh. That's weird. And yet he's willing to tell millions of Americans suffering from disasters to go take a flying leap. Very nice.
The Trump administration is trying out a new tactic to mislead the public about climate change. The New York Times reports that the Trump-appointed head of the U.S. Geological Survey has ordered staff to shorten their projections of the future effects of climate change so that they all end in the year 2040, rather than looking forward to 2100, like nearly all other previous scientific assessments.
That's called freedom scheduling.
The most severe consequences of global warming are expected to kick in after 2040, so shortening the time frame would keep the public in the dark about worst-case scenarios of business as usual with climate change.
Why do you hate freedom?
But there is some good news.
Okay.
The UK has gone more than 2 weeks straight without using coal for electricity. That's the longest stretch since Britain started using electricity in 1882. Finally, Colorado is the latest state to set an ambitious target of 100% zero emissions electricity by 2040. It's part of a suite of bills signed by new Democratic Governor Jared Polis. In a signing ceremony, Polis said his roadmap would cut the state's carbon emissions by accelerating renewable energy projects, strengthening energy efficiency and water efficiency, updating local building codes, and building out an electric vehicle charging network. That would be paid for in part by Colorado's share of a settlement paid by automaker Volkswagen for cheating on emissions tests. Polis said the new suite of bills will have broad benefits for all Coloradans.
It means cleaner air. It means good green jobs that will never be outsourced and aren't dependent on commodity pricing.
Nice.
It means lower rates for ratepayers. New wind energy projects cost about 20-30% less than existing coal.
A world without poisonous fossil fuels to create electricity. Now that would be real freedom. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Google Play. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Your first name is free. Last name is dumb. But you still believe in where we're from. Freedom. Breathing.
We talked earlier in the program, Titanic Tuesday, Trump-tanic Tuesday, we talked earlier in the program about the judge out in California who says, nah, Nazis can start riots all they want to. I mean, you can't bust them for planning the riot. I mean, maybe once they get started in the riot, you can bust them for rioting. But you can't try to stop Nazi riots in advance, no, because that wouldn't be murking. That's one federal district judge. Let's check in with Federal District Judge Emmett Sullivan. He's had a change of heart. It was Emmett Sullivan who ordered the Justice Department to turn over transcripts of a phone call between Michael Flynn and Sergei Kislyak of the lovable, cuddlable, huggable, autocratic, dictatorial nation of Mother Russia, run by huggable, covable, cuddlable, lovable Pooty Poot. Yeah, he was unequivocal. He said, no, you got to turn over that, you got to turn over the transcript of that phone call between Michael Flynn and Sergei Kislyak. You know, Sergei Kislyak, who was at the Republican National Convention and hobnobbed with Jefferson Davis, Beauregard Sessions the Third, and such like as that. And apparently did a little business with Michael Flynn. Sure. Yeah, he said, you're going to have to turn that transcript over, by God. And then he saw the dirty pictures. I mean, I don't know that he saw any dirty pictures. But all of a sudden today, he volte-faced. He about-faced. He changed his mind. I mean, if a federal judge can't change his mind, who can change his mind? Now, he didn't give any reason, Emmett Sullivan didn't, for telling the government, nah, don't bother. Nah, you don't need it. Nah, you don't need to turn over the transcript. That's okay, no big deal. And Glenn Kirshner, who has become a go-to commentator on all things Robert Mueller, he went out on Twitter and said, the prosecutors must have filed additional information under seal. Is that what we're calling it these days? That satisfied Judge Sullivan's concerns and made him reassess the propriety of his original order directing disclosure. I trust Sullivan's judgment, independence, and ethics. He would not have changed course without a darn good reason, comma, in my IMO, in my opinion. You know what? A lot of darn good reasons out there. Many of which are in plain manila folders. Sometimes the photos are a little grainy, but, you know, you can tell that the people are who the people are. Or maybe they're bank records or statements, or maybe it's the name and address of a woman who wasn't your wife that you once had a torrid and passionate pleading with. Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this, of course, is that Flynn lying about the nature of his interactions with Sergei Kislyak, that's how he wound up getting charged with lying to the feds. And what is suspected but not known is that Kislyak was trying to get favorable foreign policy treatment for Mother Russia from the Trump administration and from Trump himself, who, of course, has a long, long sordid history of involvement with the Russian mob. But oh well, no need, nothing to see here. Nobody needs to know that. Especially, no, of course not. And maybe now the pictures won't come out. Yeah. Oh, well. There's plenty of other stuff. June 1st was the beginning of Pride Month. June is Pride Month in the United States and around the world, I guess. And because this is Trump-merica, Pride Month was marked, well, Pride Month began with death. A 25-year-old trans woman, Johanna Medina León, was complaining about chest pains, and they eventually brought her to Del Sol Medical Center in El Paso, Texas, Tuesday last. Mm-hmm. And the ICE thug said, well, she was processed for release on parole, and dadgummit, she died on the first day of Pride Month. Corey A. Price has so few morals and values that Corey A. Price was willing to take a job as a spokes creep, well, a field office director for ICE enforcement and removal operations in El Paso, Texas. Corey A. Price explained away the sad, tragic, miserable death of this trans woman who had fled her home in Central America because it's not safe to be a trans woman in Central America. Corey A. Price said, this is yet another unfortunate example of an individual who illegally enters the United States with an untreated, unscreened medical condition. Many of these aliens attempt to enter the United States with untreated or unknown diseases, which are not diagnosed until they're examined while in detention. Ah, see, here's the problem. She wasn't examined while she was in detention. She was complaining of chest pains, and they finally paid attention to her problem. And meanwhile, Corey A. Price is a goddamnable liar because it's not an unfortunate example of an individual who illegally entered the United States. I dare to remind myself and all of us, it is not illegal to seek asylum in the United States of America. At least not yet. And she wasn't trying to enter the United States with an unknown or untreated disease. That makes it sound like she took her unknown or untreated disease and led it by the hand, like some little toddler. If it had been a toddler, the toddler would be in a dog cage in a concentration camp and maybe dying. She came to the United States in mid-April. She died on June 1. I'd say mid-April to June 1 is plenty of time to assess, diagnose, triage, hell, maybe even treat. No, not in America. No, we wouldn't treat in America. Because we got freedom here in America, and freedom means you can't go to the goddamn doctor when you're sick. She got here in mid-April. And lo and behold, on May the 18th, ICE gave her a credible fear finding. A positive, credible fear finding. And she was trying to find safe haven in the United States as a trans woman. But we can't do all this. The government can't be just doing all this. We've got to provide an opportunity for corporations, you know, those people with all that important speech out there, money. They've got to be able to get their beaks wet, too. So they stuffed her in the Otero County Processing Center in New Mexico. The ACLU has investigated that hellhole, that shithole, and said that it is rife with poor treatment, unconscionable conditions for LGBTQ immigrants. ACLU and Santa Fe Dreamer Project said in a joint letter, ICE's practices at Otero have created an unsafe environment for the LGBTQ detainees there. Wait a minute. We've got a separate, but equal, I'm sure, place where we stick LGBTQ migrants trying to flee to the safety of the United States? Apparently so. Diversidad Sin Fronteras said on Facebook that she became extremely ill and unconscious even as she was pleading for medical treatment. And I'm proud to live in America. Yeah. Well, let's leave New Mexico and Texas and wander up to Tennessee, shall we? Let's go to Coffee County, Tennessee. Home of the George Dickel Whiskey Distillery. And some pretty cool ancient Native American ruins, I might add. Manchester, Tennessee is the county seat. Coffee County was named for a land speculator and drinking buddy of Andrew Jackson. So is Coffee County, Alabama. So was the old high school in my hometown. John Coffee's name got around. His daughter, or wife, I can't remember which, was the namesake of the hospital where I was born. Well, things haven't changed that much in Coffee County, I reckon. I mean, there's some... wait, let me go back and check in on some email real quick. Steve in New York. Unknown disease. How can one diagnose a person with a disease when nobody knows what it is? Or if she had it. I mean, she complained about it, but, you know, you point at him, and, you know, you're just faking. You're just trying to get some special attention. Russian mob, Lee in New York, says, don't you know, there's no Russian mob. These people are honest businessmen, just like Trump. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you betcha. Let's not leave that yet. Tracy pointing out another transgender woman of color has been murdered this month in Dallas. That's two in the space of a month. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, Asa, if that was the twisted attempt at logic that Asa says, well, of course there's a separate holding cell for LGBTQ immigrants. You let them mix with the general population, they're going to gay up all our cheerings. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But, yeah, two women have been murdered in Dallas, trans women. Color. I'm sure the Dallas PD is going to get right on that. Coffee County, Tennessee. Yeah, I guess one might say it is largely pastoral, rural, perhaps even bucolic. Bucolic sounds disgusting, but it doesn't mean anything disgusting. Well, in Coffee County, Tennessee, they've got him a district attorney. The Coffee County district attorney is a fellow by the name of Craig Northcott, N-O-R-T-H-C-O-T-T. And he has... stoked the ire of people there. Well, not there. I mean, not in Coffee County. They probably don't much care. They keep electing this guy. But he's decided on his own that he will not prosecute domestic violence among married gay couples. He gave a speech to something called the Chafer Theological Seminary Pastors Conference. I don't know why a prosecuting attorney would need to go and talk to a bunch of preachers, but some money probably changed hands. And standing there, talking to the preachers, he said, well, the reason where I came down in my evaluation was the reason that there's extra punishment on domestic violence is to recognize and protect the sanctity of marriage. And I said, there's no marriage to protect. So I don't prosecute them as domestics, meaning domestic violence cases. Yeah. That actually happened in 2018, but he's just now getting around to being busted for it. And here's the problem. You don't have to be married to be covered by the domestic violence statute. And you do not, as a prosecuting attorney on a county level, have the right or the luxury of deciding whom the law is going to protect and whom it will not. He does all this because he says District Attorney Northcott, disagrees with the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision. He refers to the majority in Obergefell on the Supreme Court as five people in black dresses, and he says they're ruling the country. This guy also wields the ultimate legal power in a single county in Tennessee and says that Muslims do not enjoy constitutional rights under the United States Constitution. If you don't believe in the one true God, there's nothing to protect. No one other than God has given us any rights. Darn it, I thought the Constitution was mostly written by a little short guy who owned a bunch of slaves and never did a day's work in his life. He says that the Supreme Court's a bunch of social engineers. If you ever read their opinion in Obergefell, they don't base it on the Constitution. They don't base it on law. They don't base it on anything. They start in the very first paragraph by saying, we think it is a better policy for homosexual marriage to be legitimized, therefore we're going to rule this way. You probably are not interested in going and looking up the Obergefell decision, but I did, and you may rest assured that it does not begin that way. No. And, of course, District Attorney Northcott has probably never read the Obergefell decision. He just knows he hates them queers. And he doesn't want... You know, I mean, it can be real uncomfortable. I mean, you got a gay couple, and there's a domestic violence, and then the next thing you know, if you go in there and you prosecute the bad one, then you got the victim there, and if you get them some justice, then you're going to have some man all hugging around on your neck and saying thank you and shit like that. And, well, hell, what are they going to say down to the Church of Christ on Sunday? Yeah, I seen you hugging on a man there. You one of them, Northcott, are ye? I wonder if we ought to be re-electing you. Didn't know you's that way. Meanwhile, not a damn thing will happen to District Attorney Craig Northcott. Good good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, and homosexual. And you know damn good and well he is. Probably gets all worked up about the precious little fetuses. You know he does. And it gets exhausting, I know. I get notes variously from time to time. You know, Bob, it's so exhausting, so tired. It's not hard. I mean, there are hard aspects of being a prosecuting attorney. When you open the file and you see the autopsy photos of a little three-month-old infant whose mama has shaken her to death and turned her brains into jello and wrenched her so hard that she's chicken-boned her little arms and thigh bones, that'll take a toll. The abuse and neglect cases generally are hellish because, generally speaking, you've got to really work hard to get the attention of Child Protective Services to the point that they're willing to move in and action and take action. Now, Craig Northcott, he wouldn't have a problem prosecuting a domestic violence of a man and a woe man. Although I wonder if he really, being as how he goes and talks to preacher conferences, I wonder if he thinks the woman was asking for it. Because he's a real big Christian, Northcott. Well, see, Steve's thinking the way I am in New York. I'll bet he's protecting marriage. Also includes not enforcing domestic violence laws against divorced and remarried people, right? Well, yeah, it says right there in the Bible you ain't supposed to get divorced. Arthur says, that's because you're reading the overfelt decision that Hillary wants you to read, Bob. You're not reading the real uberfelt. Okay, Arthur. That's well played. Steve, meanwhile, says of the trans woman who died on June 1 in ICE custody, her disease was her being trans. And yet they say that they had given her, they had said they agreed with her case. They just didn't want to let her go for a little bit there. I mean, right. I wonder if anybody's filed any bar complaints against old Craig Northcott there in Tennessee. Would an extraordinary writ lie? Like a writ of mandamus to compel District Attorney Northcott to prosecute domestic violence cases among gay couples? And that's a larger question. I don't know the statistics on it. I know that there's a shit ton of domestic violence cases among one man and one woe man, holy, sacred, Christian, upstanding, Bible-believing marriages. How are the numbers? Because remember, we were promised that gay folks being able to get married would destroy traditional family values, marriage once and for all. What are the domestic violence numbers like there? Would, I dare ask, a gay couple in Coffee County, Tennessee, even think of picking up the phone and calling the police, a member of a gay couple, to report a domestic violence incident. It, wouldn't it be as likely as not, especially if it was, a gay couple of color or one member of the household was of color, wouldn't it be as likely as not that the Coffee County Sheriff's Department would come up and make the previous domestic violence look like a walk in the park? Yeah, what you need is a good tasing. Yeah. Scott in San Diego, District Attorney Northcott. So the Supreme Court justices wear dresses, huh? Those are robes, you idiot. Robes like, oh, I don't know, Klan robes. P.S. Now we already know that language is not your strong suit, Craig Northcott, so let's all touch on math. As of 2017, the population of Coffee County, Tennessee was 55,034. Going by the Kinsey Report, stats 10%, and there are likely newer and more accurate numbers, there are likely 5,503 gay, bi, or trans folks there whose legal rights you're supposedly sworn to uphold, you arrogant, religious, fanatic asshole, you. Yeah, but God don't love them, Scott. I mean, it's clear, it's plain as day. We'll save that one for tomorrow. Now, here's somebody, Craig Northcott in Coffee County, Tennessee, could probably sit down and have a cup of coffee with and find consensus and common cause. I had to double check that this wasn't some sort of a parody account or a joke. But there's a guy who writes on Christian marriage and men's rights and gender roles who calls himself Rollo Tomasi. Mm-hmm. And straight out of the L.A. Confidential book and novel. This Rollo Tomasi person, operating behind an alias, said that, his column was about what he called female dread. He says that men are going about it all wrong because they try to diffuse sexual anxiety and tension. He says Christian husbands need to make their wives unintentionally uncomfortable so that they can then have the rough, hardcore makeup sex you thought you'd never have. Oh, really? Then a guy from Biblical Gender Roles jumped in and said, "Whoo, amen." And asked, "So should a wife, biblically speaking, have a little healthy fear or dread of her husband?" Absolutely. I wonder if Craig Northcott would be all in favor of some of that there, fear and dread. They cite Ephesians 5:22 saying, "Submit, women submit to your husbands as unto the Lord." You know, because hubby is a stand-in for Jeebus. Mm-hmm. men show their wives they're either afraid to lose them, be alone, or afraid of the prospect of divorce and the financial or child custody repercussions it may bring. They need to use the there's the door method. So when a woman acts out in rebellion toward her husband and tries to act as if she does not need her husband or that other men would treat her better, the Christian husband should tell his wife, there's the door. Will some women be foolish enough to walk out that door? Yes. But the moment a man allows his wife to put him in a position of fearing her, rather than her fearing him, the relationship has just changed from the design God intended it to be. You get the idea. You get these Christians, you know, they don't like women. While we are required to know our wives and talk to them, that does not mean we need to spend every bit of our free time in conversation with them. We do not need to hang on every word our wife says. While we are required to give them food, clothing, and shelter, that food does not have to be the fancy food she wants. No, by God, she can have fancy feast instead. That clothing does not have to be the fancy clothing she wants from Walmart. And that house does not have to be the fancy house she wants. This is not my fancy house. This is not my fancy wife. I don't just mean she just rocks his world one night and then he lavishes her with all these things. No, she sees that in order to get some of her wants met, she must be first. She must first reverence her husband outside the bedroom, and she must ravish him inside the bedroom, and this becomes the pattern of her behavior toward her husband. Kind of why I was asking earlier about the domestic violence rates. Because I'm surprised that that dude's still alive. Of course, the butch posturing and writing like that almost guarantees that, well, it ain't like that in the home. If either the reverence or ravishing goes down, time out, that word, ravishing, As a guy, I never thought in terms of, hoo-wee, she is hot. I cannot wait to be ravished by her. But, no. Don't work like that. It doesn't. But, you know, this is the good God-fearing America we live in. This is maggot marriage 101. Stephen, New York says, I've come to the conclusion, very sadly for me, that though I know many, many people who take Christ's teachings to heart, Christianity as a system is a cancer on this country. Well, yeah, evangelical, neo-Calvinist, prosperity gospel, bullshit, heretical, doesn't understand. No, it's exact. Yeah, and it is heretical. But I can't fix Christianity because I'm not a Christian. Only Christianity can fix Christianity. And everybody wants to just sing Kumbaya on their play it on their kazoos. Coming up on the third hour of the program, still got $200 to raise. It would be nice, like I said, to knock some of that out if we could. Sorry to mention it. I hate it, but it's how this program's been here for 15 years. See what's up to see what Todd's got going on. Hey, Todd. Yo, Todd. Oh, wrong button. Sorry. There's Todd.
I couldn't hear earlier on the
No, I noticed that. I saw you call in, and then I saw where somebody had turned down one of the knobs on one of the gizmos, and I had to fix it.
That was the cat.
I don't know. It's a 23-year-old sort of ginger-headed, 5'11" cat. Who has a real taste for curryverst.
Oh, God. My God, that's too funny. That's what I'm eating right now, a pad thai curry. Oh, my God. Oh, that's too funny, man. That's a terrible story, man. What the fuck? That's awful.
Which one?
I mean, goddamn. You can't do that. That's fucking, I don't care if you don't like gay people. That's fucking, not you. I don't care if that district attorney, that person with all the power over other people's lives, doesn't like gay people. That, you know, this, yuck.
Well, but consider there are laws being introduced in red states all over the country saying that, you know, if a doctor gets to feeling kind of ooky about the gay, he can let the patient die on the table because of his conscience. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
This is like, man, but see, these people are manifested. They're showing who they really are now. Between the Kenneth Copeland, that's it. You know, I know we talked for a few minutes yesterday, but those tweets, I didn't know what was going on really in the news. All kinds of things transpired. Man, these people are losing their fucking mind. But that shit, wait a minute.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the campaign gets going in earnest?
It's going to be like the Onion, only it's real. I mean, seriously, like in this state, I remember years ago, I was visiting a friend here, decades. And he let this woman from Oklahoma stay with him for 3 days. And she was like, street smart.
Now, would that be a voodoo woman named Phyllis?
Well, may as well have been, right. Well, he got Philistined all right. Listen, I didn't know this either, but in this at the time in this state, South Carolina, if you have a woman in your house for like 3 days, I think it's like 3 days, some kind of constraints of the law, they're like common law wife, like my husband and man, like she wouldn't leave, and there's nothing you could do about it. So she just hung around for a couple of years. She would not leave his house. Wasn't shit he could do about it.
Was she ravishing him?
Well, that was her. He hadn't been broken off. Like he was like in a drought. So that was the first time he got laid in like forever. And then, right. And she was nice.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get personal or anything, but I've never been ravished.
Come on. Please. Man, you are 50-something-year-old. You've never been ravished. Come on.
No. I mean, I always figured I wonder what this guy's got. I mean, he wants, that's the thing. On the one hand, he's all butch, but on the other hand, he wants to be ravished. I mean,
he's showing his inner gay, isn't he?
You can't be butch and get ravished at the same time, I don't think.
Well, therein lies the conundrum.
Well, thank God you didn't say rub.
No, I wasn't gonna. That's a terrible story, though, man. This is messed up. I mean, come on. You know, my God, who cares anymore if somebody's gay? I mean, that's so passe now. What the fuck? I mean, seriously. That's terrible. So, in other words, oh, let them kill each other. We don't give a damn. That's fucking stupid. These people have gotten so basic, like baking soda, man.
I know, it just makes you want to hoot.
I know. But actually, though, honestly, the reason I was banging on the phone, like blowing the phone off.
She's really?
Banging up, shut up.
Don't say banging.
Because this is a grievance. I know, right? I have a grievance. No, I'm serious, man. I got a grievance. I've been waiting for you to cover this story for like 2.5 weeks, maybe 3.
Which one?
Well, it has to do with unions and lobbyists, and that's why I was waiting for you to cover this.
Maybe I missed it.
Well, that's a possibility. I know your schedule was different. Okay, so, you know, like in D.C., and this is important because, honest to God, like I live in a union-free area. They don't even have, in other words, the city folks, the guys who ride around.
No, you live in a state that you live in a right-to-never-hear-the-word-union spoken state.
You may as well say your goddamn witch that rapes little baby. I mean, it's the same thing. It is fucked up. These people have no concept of what it's like to be in a union. White collar, blue collar, no, they just don't do unions.
Well, I mean, they do some. I mean, I bet you there are some. I mean, even in Alabama, I've got a buddy of long standing down there who's a good union man working on who works on the nuke plant out for TVA.
Okay.
There are some, but
there's some, but you got to search them out. They're not just around, like, you know, in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's not much in the way of a going concern.
No. Right, and they're so scant that it's not even, you know, people won't talk. They basically eradicated the union in this area. And this is what I don't understand. I guess these folks they just don't know any better, because honestly, like union work, yeah, it costs more, but you get what you pay for. You don't have to call somebody back to like fix something because they didn't do it right. I mean, they don't let dregs hang around in the union. I mean, a couple of them, maybe, but for the most part, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. You can't expect to pay people $10 an hour to do union-type work and expect your work to be nice.
Well, look at the stories that have emerged out of the Boeing plant in South Carolina.
See, you're going to get me on a tangent.
I predicted that.
You did. You did. I remember that. Yep. You did. And you know, and you brought up, and this is off on a tangent, but still, when I first moved here, I was here for almost a year, and a local vote came up. They wanted to build a new nuclear plant over in Winsboro, which they did. And I voted against it. Everybody who was thinking voted against it. And, of course, what happened? It failed. They couldn't even complete it. And they went up on our power bills like 10% every year. So we've been paying for something we'll never see. And basically it was a boondoggle, and they were just stealing money. You see, nuclear power is expensive because it costs a lot to build these plants. They don't build the right type of plants. I mean, I'm definitely anti-nuclear anyway. I understand there's like pebble bed. I don't want to get too deep, but maybe there are safer plants, but... I'm not going to get to deep news, but it's fucked up. Like, our power bills went up. Like, we're supposed to be getting some kind of, a massive refund. You know,
yeah, 15 cents at a time for the next 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. So it's too late now because, our bills should not be what they are now. Like, your basic utilities in this little town are ridiculous, even before you piss. You know, you're paying X amount of money, X amount of dollars before you even pay. Now, when I was in Philadelphia, I had a choice. I was in a high rise, but they let me choose who I wanted to provide the power. I chose this green company. My power bill was never more than $13. And that included heat, hot water, electricity. $13.
Yeah, see, and I just got mine, and... For the month of May, we pretty much turned off the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about two computers, two monitors, a laptop, charging mobile devices, and LED light bulbs in the rooms. $160.
What? And you don't have an HVAC?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. We're running two air conditioners. Two little 5,000 BTU window unit air conditioners.
Yeah, but still, that's not...
No, that's that clean, that clean coal electricity. And you got to remember...
You're going to get a break, because in the wintertime, you had to buy the propane.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we run electric space heaters. And that's all well and good till it gets down to about 20, and then it gets pretty damn hateful.
You know, I'm glad we're on this tangent now. It's interesting because if people, not about me, this is just like I'm trying to be logical here. Ancient folk even realized that we're only around because of the sun.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's where our green leafies come from. Why fight against what's here? I mean, that's like a no-brainer to me. It's like if you want to subsidize something.
Well, the sun could burn out and the wind could stop blowing.
That's bullshit.
No, you think I'm kidding?
Bullshit. I know that's what they say, but that's fucking bullshit. I mean,
they. But, they believe it.
But it's not true. It's not. I'm just saying we have storage. Look, there is storage capacity. This is like little cube thing, a cube type device. It's like a modern battery. It's better than a battery. Anyway, go get me started on this because it's really. They just, in fact, do not want to do the right thing. They just don't want to. But you know what? I wrote a very long paper about this, and it got awards, and it got me on, the department started a whole newspaper because of what I wrote, and this was in the advent of cell phones, because remember the Walkman, and remember electronic gadgets got really big, right? So I was all like, right. You know what, power should be free, and it's just charged for the devices, because with free power, that would generate, you know, consumerism. We all like gadgets and devices and things and cell phones. Make the power free. You know, almost like the ink is the expensive thing with the printer. Remember, printer's cheap. They can almost give away a printer just the ink. But I just don't understand what we'll fight against the sun, what gives us everything we need, including vitamin D. It just makes no sense to me. I mean, the United States needs to be on the ground floor of something, manufacturing, and we have. So look, we have plenty of sand. My God, I live on the sand. There's nothing but sand here. You know, and people need jobs. I just don't understand it. It's just that they don't want to do the powers that they, the power elite, they don't want to do the right thing. And it's sad. But so back to the union and lobbyists. But that story, wait, back to that. How in the hell, that's just wrong, man. What is wrong with these people?
Well, I want to just time out. Because I just want to provide concrete evidence that they really are this way.
Okay.
This story is over a month old, but I've had it sitting around because I knew it would come in handy sooner or later. A guy that was sent to testify before the Congress named Mark Morano. No, really, Morano. showed up on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, to be interviewed by Jedediah Bila. Okay?
Jedediah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, that's not...
How old is he?
That's not a dude.
That's a woman's name?
Yeah. That's... she's arguably a Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda token. So, just get your hockey puck out. It won't last long. But I feel like I'm called upon to prove my point.
So some of this sounds very vague and very nice and very idealistic. Is it practical and realistic?
Okay, I was wrong. She's not
African-American.
No, first of
all, pollution, carbon dioxide. Humans we inhale oxygen.
Wait! You're going to be screaming, but I got to correct myself. I think I was thinking of Harris Faulkner. Jedediah Bila is, I guess, she's the token red. She's the token ginger. Okay. So this guy was put forward as an expert in a climate change hearing, and yeah, here we go.
So some of this sounds very vague and very nice and very idealistic. Is it practical and realistic?
No, first of all, pollution, carbon dioxide, humans, we inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide. So he's calling CO2 pollution, which it's not.
By the way, this dude, it calls himself the executive editor of climatedepot.com. He has no background in climate science whatsoever. And by the way, her upspeak made me want to just eat dirt and run rabbits. Every statement is a question. I hate upspeak. I despise upspeak.
Yeah, and what's up with that? That's almost as bad as the statistics.
I know. It sucks, doesn't it?
Don't do that shit. I'm telling you.
Right? No, it'll stick. But, yeah, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant because we exhale carbon dioxide. I guess, what does that say about shit? I mean, does he put it on his fucking Wheaties? I mean, you know, we shit. It can't possibly be pollution. CO2. Yeah, we don't need, who needs a sewer? Fuck a bunch of septic tanks. God damn these maggots. But it gets worse.
No, this plan is as pie in the sky as the Green New Deal, except it's a little bit more tepid. What's happened here is Beto O'Rourke is not satisfying the Democratic base. Within minutes of him releasing this plan, the Sunrise Movement, which was instrumental in the Green New Deal, is going after Beto O'Rourke for going back on his pledge from 2030, zero emissions, to now 2050. They're saying that Beto's plan could result in 100 million climate refugees and tens of millions dead. So that's the thanks that Beto O'Rourke gets for coming up with a lighter version of the Green New Deal and a massive federal boondoggle, just not as big a boondoggle as the Green New Deal's proposed.
Right, because nobody's going to be displaced by climate change. And those floods throughout the entire Midwest, they're not real. And neither are the tornadoes. And nobody's been displaced by either one of them. So, but this is, you know, this is just the latest example, Todd. It was years ago now that a guy actually stood up on the floor of the Senate. He was a jackass from Texas. I think he has since resigned in some degree of disgrace. He said, CO2 can't be pollution because it's in soda pop and we all lacks the tingle.
I remember that buzz. Yeah. Oh, they ate that up because it's simple. It's simple like they are. It's just simple.
And then Michelle batshit crazy Bachman repeated it. Uh-oh, I upspoke. See, it's dangerous. I'm telling you. It's dangerous? See. Yes, it's dangerous.
You know what? Speaking of climate change and the environment, I was talking with a friend last night about this. And see, we're the age, we remember when terrariums were a big thing. You remember?
I remember terrariums. I had a horned toad for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Woolworths had a really nice one back in the early 70s. It was like on a mod, an MOD kind of pedestal base. It was white. It had the globe terrarium and, you know, top. It was like, you know, you could put it in your living room. It looked nice. And the whole point of a terrarium is it's a biosphere. It's a sealed environment. You know, you can set everything up properly, and then you can put a reptile in there or whatever, and you have grass.
And deliberately artificially warmed.
Right. So we live in a terrarium. So let's say you don't believe in climate change or anything else, just the fact of the matter is, it's a fact that we live in a sealed system for the most part. For gases, everything is concealed around the earth, and that's how we stay alive. Therefore, you know.
Well, it's sealed. It's sealed except for the power of God.
No, we're not talking about that. This has nothing to do with God. No, we're not.
Not to you, not to me, but ask a maggot.
See, they have issues. Right. See, you can't continue to pollute and expect. Where do you think the shit is going to go? And I was listening to these folks the other day, 2 days ago. They were making all these arguments about why, you know, it doesn't matter and there's no climate warming and no climate change. I'm like, well, you know, we have core samples that show there's changes in gases. And like, yeah, well, changes happen anyway. Yeah, but guess what? We didn't have plastics.
we weren't making all these weird chemicals. So in other words, everything we make gets trapped in. I mean, I don't have to explain this to you, but I'm just saying it's simple shit. It's like when people get their fucking people need to back the fuck up and take their emotions out of things sometimes and just look at things in a logical and methodical way. You know? And then if you still want to...
Well, it's like what Steve was talking about last night. It's a reuse and recycle loop on this planet. Because except for the stuff that we fired into space, everything pretty much stays here.
Exactly.
I mean, it was through observing terrestrial processes that science came up with the idea that became the law of conservation of mass and energy. Mass and energy are neither created nor destroyed.
Correct. Right. It changes to a different state, and it's going to be a particular. It's going to do something. It's not just.
Yeah, it's like Steve talking about the hydrologic cycle. The water in the creek goes up in the form of vapor into the air. It cools up there, and it falls down in great big droplets as rain. Ooh, magic. But
what's interesting now here in the coast, now they're finally getting. They won't admit it, but they're finally realizing they need wetlands. And they need fresh water to drink. So, they're finally realizing that the wonderful nature of how water can be cleaned naturally, as being filtered through, the woods and that sand.
Yeah. And by the way, Scott has jumped in with an observation. Poo is not a pollutant. No, he does not put it on his Wheaties. Here's how to keep it straight in your head, Bob. Hipsters enjoy avocado toast. Maggots enjoy poo toast. P.S. Apologies to diners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones.
He did it on purpose.
Oh, I know he did. Troublemaker, that Scott.
It's that Scott. You're on the list, Scott. Oh, God. Yeah, oh, God.
He's one of them outside agitators is what he is.
You know what? You're headed for that Pettus Bridge, aren't you, son?
Don't want to go there.
So, all right, the union and the lobbyists. All right, so the White House obviously is in D.C. and they have union labor when they're doing their plumbing work and drywall and all that stuff. It's union labor. So, someone in the union, as they were rehabbing some of the government buildings, the White House, different areas. They said, oh, Sarah Sanders has the most powerful bidet on Earth installed in her office.
Huh?
In her office space. Yep. The most powerful bidet. It comes from Germany.
What? Like one of Bull Connor's fire hoses?
All I'm saying is that at the same time that she has the most powerful bidet, even still, the United Dairy Industry is complaining that her company is still cornering the market on cottage cheese.
Say what?
Even though she has the most powerful bidet, her company, Sarah Sanders' company, is still cornering the market on cottage cheese.
That's what I thought you said. You're going to hell, you know that? You're going to hell. That was a long...
Why does she have a job? It's not my fault. This is ridiculous. We had to listen to that woman. Are you crazy? I used to feel bad about what I said.
Yeah, I know, but what Scott did to dinner in the Mountain and Pacific time zones, you went Everest on it.
I went Everest. Oh, God. Well, look... At least I'm not using the apparatus of the United States to subvert judges.
What you got going for you, which is good.
No, but seriously, man, this is awful. This is as bad as we thought it was going to be. The coup. This is a real life coup we're living through.
Well, I think we're kind of past the coup. now we're into the tyranny.
Are we post-cooties?
Yes, we are. We are post-coup. We're post-cooties, and now we're in the after-funk. We're in the that phase of guilt and self-loathing.
I'm only laughing.
It was not a good ravishing.
It was a terrible ravishing. It wasn't even a rav. It was more. This Barr thing, he is out of fucking control. Now that's who needs to be in peace immediately.
Yeah, I see no reason, and I see no reason not to get going on that.
What more do we need to see? He's a dangerous motherfucker. He told us what he is.
And more importantly, lied to the Congress in the process and lied to the American people. I mean, that does kind of still matters.
Yes, I didn't mean to yell. Yes. At least Jeff Sessions, had enough sense to recuse himself. Barr, and I'll never forget he was asked, or North Philly, he was asked, all Lizzie Borden style, is it appropriate or is it okay for a foreign entity to influence our election with money or whatever? And he paused. He was like, wow. Do you remember that?
I do.
How the fuck do you, even if you think that, why are you pausing?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on, I mean, there's foreign entities and there's foreign entities. I mean, if the check clears.
He's just not even making any bones about what the hell he is. Fucking Pygmalion. I mean,
by the way, you mentioned Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. His namesake had a birthday yesterday. I think it was yesterday. it is a state holiday in Alabama where Jefferson Davis was not from and did not have a plantation or a mansion or anything. He just happened to be the president of the Confederacy for a little while in Montgomery. And state offices shut down on Jefferson Davis's birthday.
As of 2019?
Yes, as of yesterday.
The fuck?
Or the day before,
that's
whatever.
Crazy.
Well, the reason I mention that to you, I saw this yesterday. The Montgomery Advertiser was they did a hell of a lot of good journalism once upon a time, and they're trying to still be doing it. And what they write about in this article, they need a Pulitzer for this.
Mm.
Smack dab in the middle of the old Confederacy to push back like this, this takes courage. They published something yesterday called Where Was the Lord? On Jefferson Davis's birthday, 9 slave testimonies. The voices of 5 men and 4 women once held in human bondage interviewed in Alabama in 1937 by Brian Lyman of the Montgomery Advertiser. I think I'd stop telling us what to read, Bob. That notwithstanding, I think everybody should read this.
I like it already.
And in introduction to the piece, Brian Lyman writes, "Today, the state of Alabama marks the birthday of Jefferson Davis, who served as president of the Confederate States of America from 1861 to 1865. A state holiday, state offices are closed throughout Alabama. Davis, who at one point owned more than 100 slaves, led a government resting on the principle of white supremacy. The Confederate Constitution contained a provision explicitly prohibiting any law, quote, impairing the right of property in Negro slaves, unquote. And as Vice President Alexander Stevens said, the cornerstone of the new government, quote, rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. Then they say, or Mr. Lyman says, Davis was a racist. In a speech to the United States Senate in 1860, the then senator from Mississippi said slavery was a form of civil government for those who by their nature are not fit to govern themselves. We recognize the fact of the inferiority stamped upon that race by the Creator, and from cradle to grave our government as a civil institution marks that inferiority. After he was inaugurated as president of the Confederacy, he said, we recognize the Negro as God and God's book and God's laws in nature tell us to recognize him, our inferior, fitted expressly for servitude. So here's the deal. Back when FDR was in office, as a function of what was called the WPA, I'm sure you know what it was, the Works Progress Administration, what maggots would today call socialism.
Never mind, don't get me started. I know.
People were paid to fan out across the country and document the country as it presently existed.
Oh, God, thank you. That's what I was... Okay.
From the photographs of Dorothea Lange to this.
Lomax style.
From 1936 to 1938... workers with early primitive recording devices were sent to collect oral histories from people who had survived slavery.
Man, I'm so glad you're mentioning this. Honest to God.
They collected They collected over 2,000 interviews.
Yep.
129 of them in Alabama.
Scott would love this. I think Scott would like it. Into this.
And so they selected nine former slaves and reprinted their testimonies from 1937. And I read this after the program last night. And it just stopped me in my tracks.
You know, I don't know how many people, I don't think, you know, we're in the history, a lot of people aren't. But yeah, the Library of Congress's website is amazing. And they had the audio files, like you can actually hear these recordings.
Yeah, and in this article, you can hear the audio recordings in this article too. That's what I mean. It's easy to get to.
It's embedded in there. Okay. Because it's important. I mean, this is a big fucking deal. This is like Lomax, you know, the guy who recorded Ledbetter, you know, down in Texas with the blues. That exactly what you're saying. Yeah, this is a big deal. And thank God they were able to get. You know, man, it wasn't that. You know, slavery was not that long ago. You know, it wasn't that long ago. And you know, the experiences were disparate. You know, some folks. Some of these slave owners would let their slaves go and work on their own at night or on the weekend, you know, and keep their money. They might take a little piece of it, you know. But to listen, to hear these folks, you know, and it goes into Northrop's likening of 13 years a slave or whatever it was. There's a lot of books out there. You know, and I wanted to bring up too. You know, there's a website called Gutenberg Press, and there's a lot of free ebooks.
Yeah, Project Gutenberg.
Project Gutenberg, right? But I forget how I stumbled on that Library of Congress part of their website.
Well, this just moved me to no end because, by the way, going back to the district attorney who won't prosecute domestic violence in a same-sex setting?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, the years pass, but nothing changes. Because one of the things of historical note about Coffee County, Tennessee, is that I think it had the fifth highest lynching rate of any county in Tennessee.
Damn.
With five.
How do you spell coffee?
Just like you spell coffee.
Oh, okay.
C-O-F-F-E-E. Hmm. There were five lynchings in Coffee County.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one of the accounts, and it broke me, and I sent the link to Agnes. I said, don't read this before bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you kind of, because I'm weird this way. I want to take a Nazi and a Klansman, and I want to stuff a hockey puck in their mouths and tape it down real tight with the duct tape and tie them to the chair and just let them listen to these recordings in an endless loop, and then observe them and wonder what in the goddamn hell is wrong with them that they can hear this and not be moved. And by the way, everybody who testified, everybody who gave their witness in this effort at preserving the history, they never received any kind of compensation for what was done to them.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Their kids didn't receive any compensation for what was done to them. Their grandchildren didn't receive any compensation for what was done to them. Their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren, and yet if you say the word reparations, some maggot will go, well, goddamn, I didn't ever own no slaves. The very foundation of the civil side of our legal system begins by admitting its essential failures, Todd. It says we can't undo wrongs. We can't bring people back to life. The only thing basically we've got is money. And we can award money for things that have been taken away from people.
Damn, like, that's a hell of a point there, Bob.
Like in the case of the folks who sued out in Northern California and got that judgment because they both got cancer after using Roundup. The court can't make the court can't make their cancer go away. All it can do is offer them compensation for what was taken from them. The agony of the disease. Their physical integrity. Their ability to love one another because they couldn't because they were in hospitals. And then the law presumes an ability to punish a wrongdoer who knew they were doing wrong. Well, take all of those principles and apply it to this, and you can't reach a conclusion except that reparations would have been a hell of a lot easier and cheaper to pay back then than they're going to be now, and they need to be paid.
Damn, Bob. You sound like an attorney. You're laying out a case.
This is the recollection of Laura Clark. She was born in North Carolina. They were sold. She and nine other children were sold off when she was either 6 or 7 years old, and she wound up in Livingston, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I read this last night and just crumbled. I recollect Mammy said to old Julie, take care of my baby child, that was me, and if I never see her no more, raise her for God. Then she fell off the wagon where us was all sitting and roll over on the ground just a-crying, but us was eating candy what they done give us for to keep us quiet, and I didn't have sense enough for to know what ailed Aunt Mammy, but I know now, and I never seed her no more in this life. When I heard from her after surrender, she done dead and buried. Her name was Rachel Powell. My pappy's name I don't know, because he'd done been sold to somewhere else when I was too little to recollect. But my mammy was the mother of 22 children, and she had twins in her lap when us drove off. My grandmammy said when I left, pray, Laura, and be a good gal, and mind both white and black. Everybody will like you, and if you never see me no more, pray to meet me in heaven. Then she cried. Her name was Rose Powell. God damn. I got tears welling up in my eyes right now. And that's one story out of 2,000 that they managed to record out of a goddamn million that weren't. But Jefferson Davis gets a fucking... Everybody gets a day off for Jefferson goddamn Davis in Alabama every year. Every June fucking 3rd. And somebody's out there saying, yo, I ain't never owned no slaves. I don't owe nobody nothing. Every goddamn step you take is taken on the backs of people who went before you. Sorry, preaching, man. I apologize. Did I lose you, Todd?
No, you didn't lose me. No, you didn't lose me. And you should preach because you're damn good at it. And see, you know, I think that we take a lot of things for granted. When I say we, I mean people who like history. Because we're, you know, people like different things, obviously. Some people just don't like history. But it means something. I mean, this is like that website, the Library of Congress's website. This shit is accessible. And when you start listening to it, then, that 13 years of slave, like at 13 or 20 or whatever it was. When you start digging, there's a lot of novels, and some of them are phony, according to the historians, but some of them are real. Because people were trying to make a buck back in the day, but still, that's what sparked some folks to dig and find out these things. But that's our, those are our tax dollars at work. And that's why it's dangerous when our institutions start to fail, because things like this will get lost. I mean, but yeah, it's
oh, don't think for a minute that the maggots wouldn't love to just disappear those 2,000 interviews.
Oh, they would. He would if he.
But
knew,
you know, but you know, I mean, we can do this without a problem. I mean, what if we came up with a reparations plan? I mean, we still got that stupid checkbox on the income tax form that says check here if you want a dollar of your taxes to go to presidential campaign matching funds.
Right.
And without regard to party or anything like that. Why couldn't we have a checkoff box for people with a goddamn conscience?
Wow, right. I don't know, maybe have a vote and a donate box. In other words, do you agree with this, chat? Do you want to donate, chat? And that way, you know, data, all data is good data. Even if you don't agree with it, data is data. You have to have data. So that way we have an official tally. Because remember, this fascist administration is in the mix as soon as they started. They started fiddling with the books. They reconstrued how record keeping was going to commence. They're fucking with the census. They're fucking with the census, man. We're in some bad shape here.
Yeah, and they've admitted that the reason for fucking with the census is to help Republicans. I mean, they were, you know, the guy who died, whose hard drive was discovered by his widow, and all the data's there, good data, and their only purpose with the census finagling was to make it more likely that Republicans would be elected, even when they no longer represent a majority of the country, which they don't.
It's out there. We all knew it, but now it's out there in black and white now. That's what you're saying.
I mean, when the legislature of North Carolina proudly marched into federal court and said, well, hell yeah, we gerrymandered the fuck out of North Carolina. We didn't want them black folks voting. I mean, they said it.
What is going on with the ninth? Now, I forgot to look because I used to always go to that paper, that Charlotte Observer. Yeah, and they talk about it. It's a McClatchy paper, and they, you know, they keep tallies on it. I've been doing it since. This is insidious. But this sleeping giant, you see, this is ugly. We knew this was going to be bad, but I don't think we knew it was going to be this bad. Look how much wreckage. It's only been 2.2 years, maybe. And look at the wreckage. And look at the Western world. This dude is wrecking the Western world. He's doing exactly what Putin wanted him to do. Why don't people see that? I don't give a fuck if you don't believe the Russians interfere, whatever. He is doing exactly what a broken-ass hegemony overseas would want us to do. Doing exactly what Russia would want us to do. We're being weak and weak and weak, and every day it didn't cost them. It cost them peanuts. Peanuts.
Right, and then when the tank, and the way it's supposed to work is, then when the tanks roll across the Russian frontier into the former Soviet satellite states, NATO will be so fractured that it will not be able to live up to its treaty obligations and will immediately crumble. That's the plan.
Well, it looks like they're on track, if you ask me. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work. Look, I'm no great fan of the military, and we have a ridiculously bloated military budget. Mm-hmm. But if you consider, say, 2,000 years of history in Europe of them murdering each other almost incessantly for those two millennia, and you take World War I and World War II in the 20th century, and then you notice that we put in NATO, we create NATO, and somehow or another we managed to stop that for 70 years. I don't think Europe has ever gone 70 years without tearing itself apart before. I acknowledge the civil wars in Bosnia and Serbia. Right.
Yeah, but we got on top of that pretty quickly. We got right on top of it.
No, by the way, I think it was Franklin Graham. I saw where the other day he said that by way of suggesting that Donald Trump must not be impeached. Now, Franklin Graham would not have peed on Bill Clinton if he was on fire, in the name of Jesus. But Franklin Graham is now running around out there saying, well, you know, if we hadn't impeached Bill Clinton, he could have stopped the Rwandan genocide. Bullshit. There was no way to stop the Rwandan genocide. Not us. Maybe we could have limited it, but we couldn't have stopped it.
No.
But suddenly he cares about the Rwandan genocide, Franklin Graham.
That's a whole loaded issue. It's really ridiculous. It's a mess. But you see, once again, we go back to history. These folks are anemic when it comes to knowledge of history. Because what else do you need to see? Like, okay, fine, you don't like NATO, but what's your alternative?
Right. You know, sometimes the alternative is an abattoir, is a meat grinder. But NATO is an offense to the dictatorial yearnings of huggable, snuggleable, lovable, cuddly pooty poot.
Because
he wants the power and prestige of the Soviet Union without all that pesky communism.
Well, he's well on his way. He's well on his way.
He's very damn near he's exercising czar-like power. It's not just the Soviet Union. It's the czars. He wants that power.
Well, see, I'm a nerd. Now, I remember when they broke off I used to read the English version of Pravda, and then I used to listen to Tass. And, you know, they were pissed off, and they, you know, like most nations, when the things collapse, you know, they want to kind of look inward and look back, and when their rally days, and they were yearning for that. You know, they were yearning for a leader. Learning, you know, yearning to be on top, because my God, they couldn't even get any vodka, toilet paper, vodka. People were waiting in line to get toilet paper and vodka. You know, and I would detest those. But you know, they didn't understand. You know, they didn't want to acknowledge. They didn't want to understand that they were just being, you know, like pawns. It just, you know, all their money was being stolen. You know, once the people at the top, they, you know, the oligarchs took it off the top. There's not much left. You know, what's left for the regular people? So you got to blame somebody else, blame the other. And then that's when the nationalism kicks in. You know, that's a common thread when economic times get hard. You know, folks get all racist and, you know, get all weird and shit because they're grasping at straws and they get up angry. But, yeah, so they did this shit on the cheap. I mean, my God, look at you. It's like you said, this is just unbelievable. And you saw that's exactly why the Queen of England gave the mentally ill fascist with an evil streak the copy of Winston Churchill's the book about World War II. You know, even though he doesn't read.
Yeah, the expurgated, you can buy it for $15 version.
What, you want to waste a whole lot of money on his dumb ass? Come on. She knew he wasn't going to read it. But you know, speaking of reading, since you brought it up, you know, and I'm a little bit irritated with the for-profit media because the Mueller report is available on C-SPAN's website. It can be read to you. It's around 13 hours, maybe 13 or 14 hours. But it's when you hear this shit, of course, it's all Democrats doing it, and they will repeat things because you have to repeat it so it sinks in. Like Ted Lieu, there were a few, I'll call it a stanza, a few stanzas where he had to repeat because it's just so egregious of some of the shit that went on. When you listen to it, when one listens to it, it is fucked up. It is so, that's why Mueller's like, you know, just read the damn report, but you don't have to read it. You can be in the car, do your audio, you know, come on, man. Everybody's got a phone mostly. You know, these newer cars, you just plug your shit up into the dashboard with a little wire. You don't need a wire. It's Bluetooth. Or if you're a Halloween person, it's Bluetooth, you know, and just, you know, play it. Because it's there. It's frightening. It's fucked up. How's this motherfucker's got to go? And all this cabinet and Barr. Oh. See, I'm concerned with Barr, man. This fucker is out of control.
I think we're seeing with that judge, what was his name, McFadden, a couple mm-hmm. of days yesterday, the ruling mm-hmm. about the House not being not having standing to sue Donald Trump over misappropriation of funds for his goddamn border wall.
Ain't that some shit? What the fuck? Who the fuck? That's craziness.
Well, he's a maggot. He's a Trump appointee. He's from the Happy Federalist Society list. He was put there to do his...
How the fuck are you going to tell me that a branch of government doesn't have standing? Fuck that. That's right on the prima facie, the face of it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm not yelling.
No, that's okay. That's probably an appropriate response. But the bottom line is, and I don't think anybody's really prepared to... our side isn't prepared to even think about what it would take to do this. I mean, it would take having both houses of Congress, a veto-proof majority in the Senate, or get rid of the veto, whatever, and a president willing to sign the bills and work over damn time for the first year of the 2020 new Congress, or 2021,
mm-hmm.
and impeach every Trump judge, repeal every Trump law, eliminate, I mean, I'm talking about the ancient classical concept of damnatio memoriae. You make it as though Donald Trump were never president and never had any impact on government. You root out everything he did, root and branch, and start afresh.
Well, that's what's needed. Well, that's what happens when you have a cancer that has metastasized. You have to go a little bit.
You got to cut it all out.
Cut it all out. A radical. I'm not going to say mastectomy. Radical. Got to excavate. Going to hurt a little bit. There'll be some blood, but it has to be done before the board take over, because that, like you said, that precedent, we cannot have that precedent then. And I believe I heard you guys maybe last night, or I don't know.
I'm in earnest about this. You got to remove Brett Kavanaugh from the court. You got to remove Gorsuch from the court. You've got to remove every judge he's nominated and that has been rammed through by Mitch McConnell. Everything has to go.
It's got to go.
Not for the sake of my political philosophy, Todd, but for the sake of the continuation of the republic.
Right. Exactly. To restore the legitimacy to our rule of law.
Because and it could be that it wouldn't even work. If you take resort to classical history, after the proscriptions of Sulla, and it was a horror and a terror the likes of which Rome had not really known. Maybe the best comparison is the terror of the French Revolution. But after he had cleaned out all of what he deemed to be the trouble, with the exception of a young man named Gaius, and he was on the proscription list and was due to be killed, and people spoke up for him and said, "Nah, he's a nice boy." And he said, "Okay, I'll spare his life," Sulla said. "But in him I see many Mariuses." Gaius' middle name was Julius, and his last name was Caesar. And turns out Sulla was right.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was just a node. Right.
Sulla dictated a bunch of laws. He was a dictator. He dictated a bunch of laws and said, this is what will return us to stability. Mm-hmm. And then he retired and went to play with little boys at his palace, in the countryside.
He was finding himself.
And then he died. And the minute he was dead, everything he did was unraveled. And the struggle for power renewed itself. So it was self-actuating.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem we face is that in the evolution of our country and in the evolution of how we view the Constitution, and particularly in the evolution of the presidency, there's somebody out there. Maybe it's not even a Republican. Maybe it's a Democrat. But there's somebody out there who's looking at everything Trump's done and saying, you know what? He did it. So can I.
So can I.
But he was an idiot. And I'm not.
I was so upset when I was trying to express that last night when I was talking about the monster bar. In that, when he said, it's ironic, he said it's ironic. What he said was that people who are pushing back against this president are fighting, are breaking down our institutions. That's what he said. As if this current administration is some pinnacle of morality and justice and everything else. It's like, what in the fuck are you talking about? He needs to be bitch slapped. Fuck him, man. I'm sorry. I don't like torture, but I'm sorry. That motherfucker needs to be put on a griddle and melt his ass, his little Pygmalion ass down. Fuck him. He is fucking dangerous. That shit. I just don't know where to begin. I mean, like Chase said, the top, and on the heels of that, we have And I wasn't trying to jump on Tracy last night about as they see us, but the shit is so it's so real. And I mean, they film. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I mean, when you've set foot in front of some of these housing developments, like I have been right in front of some of those places, it's like that's the real place. They're really on the street. That's a real bodega. You know, it shit is so fucking real. You could smell it. You could taste it. And that's where we're going with this mentally ill fascist totalitarian evil streak motherfucker. And the more pressure that's on him, he's liable. Did you see those tweets that he sent out since we talked last time? He's overseas. He has lost his fucking mind.
Yeah.
You know.
And he pushed, you know, and the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he's not taking any shit. He published an op-ed that called Donald Trump everything but a human being. But, of course, in a very tasteful British sort of way, mind you.
Man, they wouldn't have any good food in London if it wasn't for the package. I'm not kidding. That's damn, you know, I mean, come on. Let's just be real. All you got to do you cross that 20 miles across the channel, and it's like, oh, food. That's what it used to be. But yeah, this is I don't see any way out. There's a train. I don't see any way out of this. See, you know what? This shit, what they're doing is radical, and it's going to take something radical to remedy the situation. And that's where we are. And I liked what you said it, or someone on your program said it. We need 1 or 2 days of massive protest. You know, like when I saw John Heilman, I was talking to John Heilman the other day. First thing out of his mouth, you know what he said to me? You know John Heilman on MSNBC?
Oh, yes.
All right. First thing out of his mouth, you know what he said?
What's that?
He said, John, how you doing? He said, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
What?
He said, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Okay.
You don't get it. If you notice on his laptop, he has a Wu-Tang.
No. I saw it. No, I do get it.
Okay. Because that's like, people who like Wu-Tang, it's like, I don't want to say cult, but look, people deep, like, it's a culture. Like, they have their own conventions and shit like that. It's deep. It's serious. People take that shit serious. Like, the Wu-Tang people, don't talk bad about Wu-Tang to Wu-Tang folks. Anyway, you just got
fan mail from Darlene in Connecticut. Totally agreed with Todd about Barr. He's dangerous and very measured in his plans and intentions. We're in trouble with this guy. Thanks for continuing to sound the alarm about him, Todd.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who's frightened. I mean, literally, I'm frightened.
If the House wants to impeach somebody, let's do Barr as a practice run.
That's what I'm talking about, Bob. Exactly. We can coalesce behind this. Exactly. Because he's proven. He's like, and this is, remember, this is the third fucking criminal acting attorney general we've had. I want to say criminal, and they are criminals, but they had not really.
Well, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard was the first, and then,
right.
You know, he wasn't really. Whitaker. He wasn't really Attorney General, you know, hot tub crime machine Whitaker. You gotta wonder where he's slithered off to.
Spending some money. It's funny how he just disappeared. He got his check and got the hell out.
Check cleared. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I need to throw out a big thank you. We started out trying to fundraise $200 this evening. Cat in Ohio jumped in. And took that down to 175. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so very much. It's important not to do goose eggs, especially with things the way they are right now.
It is, folks. And let's, I used to be really good about advertising. But, yeah, you know, your the Bob experience, you know, Jimi Hendrix experience, you know, the Bob experience, it's a good experience.
And, you know, it's just, you know, you get platform. And, you know, it's funny, man, like I said, the things that you talk about on this program, when you look back, it's like, oh, well, we were talking about that like months ago, and then just catching up.
And, you know, the other thing is, just in terms of the way I try to structure this, to the extent that it has any structure at all, is that, you know, I see what the multimillionaire for-profit media are obsessing over on a day-to-day basis. And unless I really feel like I've got something to add to it, I won't obsess the way they do. I like to find, because you're not going to, there's not a cable channel where you're going to tune in and learn about that skeevy dude in Coffee County, Tennessee. And you know what? It matters. It matters, Todd, because Tracy took on the mantle of the Ad Hoc Horn Research Department this evening. Uh-oh. I was asking about domestic violence in the LGBTQ community. 43.8% of lesbian women and 61.1% of bisexual women have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner at some point in their lifetime, as opposed to 35% of heterosexual women. 26% of gay men and 37.3% of bisexual men have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime, in comparison to 29% of heterosexual men. In a study of male same-sex relationships, only 26% of men called the police for assistance after experiencing near-lethal violence. In 2012, fewer than 5% of LGBTQ survivors of intimate partner violence sought orders of protection. Transgender victims are more likely to experience intimate partner violence in public compared to those who do not identify as transgender. And so, generally speaking, in the LGBTQ community, While they've been largely left to the side in the greater domestic violence discussion, there is data to suggest that members of the LGBTQ community experience domestic violence at equal or even higher levels than heterosexual couples, which means that essentially this monster in Tennessee is saying he frankly doesn't care.
Well, exactly. He's almost inciting violence.
Yeah, by
default.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't have to run the numbers to see that the numbers you stated are statistically significant, because they're far over one-third. You don't have to, all of those stats you had.
Right.
Pushed it. That's awful. You know, but yeah, I couldn't get over that. We kept hammering it in. That's a huge story. And that's the law enforcement. So they're saying, you know what, we just let them kill each other. That's what he's saying, is let them kill each other off. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's that really hateful, odious scene from The Godfather. Let them kill each other. They have no souls. I think for all the violence I think I hate that scene the Absidam loot most. Because
it showed how ruthless they were.
Well, yeah, but it also showed how deeply, you know, even the goddamn mob was invested in institutionalized racism. Sickening. Well, we've had a fantastic conversation, Todd, and we've come to the end of the program, my friend.
Well, Bob, I wish the best of ribs to you or whatever you have on your...
Oh, man, they're going on here in a little bit. The ribs are. The brisket's already off. It's falling apart tender. It's magic. I'm happy with the vegetarian dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was going to do some salmon, but I'm afraid I might fuck up salmon. You can fuck up salmon real quick. So I think I'm going to go with.
It costs too much to fuck it up.
I think I'm going to go with chicken instead. So we'll have beef, pork, chicken, and vegetarian.
Some thighs.
I may just go with something as simple as like the tenders that I did.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
And like a sort of barbecue-y vinegar brine soak.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just do, I don't have to smoke those. I can just do them straight up on the grill. And I'll do them. I'll do them when I get down there.
I know you had to go, but I keep thinking about when you mentioned the advantages of having that other system we were talking about with the flat griddle and the
I want it so damn bad.
You need that, man. That's complete. At that point, you need to have the like portable wooden like platform deck type of thing. You can move it like a 10x10, so you can put it wherever you need it.
I'd love to build an exterior kitchen and just do the show from out there, do the program.
Oh, we're all waiting on that.
If I had my shit together, I could have done the entire program tonight outside with a head worn microphone on and a wireless transmitter and all of that, but no.
Oh, with the onions and peppers just simmering on the flat grill.
Or in this particular instance, me fighting the massive flame up of having the dampers open for too long.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. You don't want that.
Right. But
okay, man.
Using a blend of hickory and apple on the ribs.
Oh. Mm.
The brisket got straight hickory.
Hell yeah. How's the outside taste?
Oh, the bark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bark.
The bark is pure magic. You know, I smoked it fat side up.
Oh, hell. Ooh. Oh, so it could just drip down. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so all the seasonings went across the top of the fat. And so the fat just carried it into the meat.
And the little pieces of fat that are left are like chewing gum. Like
they're these little crispy things that are just heavenly.
Damn. Oh, I'm going to be a fat son of a bitch before it's all over. I ain't lying, man. I want to die fat. I don't care.
But, so there's, I gotta trim the ribs, and then I gotta see, and then I gotta rub them, and then I gotta get them on the grill. Because looking at tomorrow's weather, it says that I'm good, 3 to 6 a.m., 30%, it's basically a 30% chance of rain all the way up to 8 a.m., it goes to 60%, and then it's just gonna fucking start raining at 11 noon, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So
you want to get the meat on there.
I got to strike while the iron's hot, which means I got to get out of here. But it's...
Okay.
There'll be pictures. There will be pictures. Tell you what, hang on here. Let me see.
God, you got me excited now. I'm looking at my girl. I'm going to go looking at my girl now. Thing off. Damn. God, with the fat side up. Oh, I can see it when it drips down.
Yeah, and I can't remember your email, dadgummit. So,
I'll text it to you. Yeah, I want to see. Yeah, I'll hit you up because I want to see those pictures.
Well, I'll send you the brisket. I mean, right now it's the ribs are all just soaking in the brine. Ice cold brine.
Well, I hope you have enough saran wrap.
I am filthy with heavy duty aluminum foil and saran
wrap. Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I stopped buying. You know, they shouldn't even sell the thin aluminum foil. I mean, it's just useless.
No, I never buy it.
It's a trap. It's such a trap. Hey, you're doing that.
And I always buy the extra wide, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know when it's too narrow and you try to like overlap it, it never works out right. It's just it doesn't work out right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta have enough space to really crank it down tight and then fold it up tight.
Right.
Or else you'll lose some of the impact of the carryover.
The carryover cooking is really important because that's when those that natural stuff just seals in.
Right. And then it'll be we'll gently reheat it once we're down there, and it'll be good.
And this, oh my God, it's Joe McCutcheon from L.J. Georgia. We ride up on this little Donald Trump. Now Scott Martin's doing good. Ask Stephen George's fan about Joe McCutcheon.
All right, LJ. I'll do that. I'll do that, and we will. I'll hoist a rib bone in your honor.
Man, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Todd, take care.
You too, my friend.
Later. Bye.
Bye.
Our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. And so we've come to the end of the program. Thanks again to Kat for keeping it from being a goose egg this evening. Thanks so much. Hopefully we'll knock down the rest of it tonight and tomorrow. And be back tomorrow evening. And hopefully with good things to report about ribs. Okay. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thank you so very much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room earlier. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.